with Executive Director Jason Etheridge now of LifeBridge. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSNU Sports. And Jason, first of all, great to meet you, and maybe a little bit of background on your professional life and or personal, if you want to get into it.
Sure. Thank you, Rick, and thank you for coming to LifeBridge. It's a pleasure to have you here. A little bit about myself. I'm Jason Etheridge, as Rick said, and I am from actually East Boston. Now live in Lynn, Massachusetts, so I'm pretty close. Being from East Boston, we always considered ourselves part of the North Shore. We don't go south for much. Mm-hmm. Prior to coming to LifeBridge, I had a career in fundraising and communications. And right before LifeBridge, I was at the Home for Little Wanderers in Boston. Wow. And there, I was a corporate fundraiser, and I would raise funds from businesses, corporations, and some foundations to help abused and neglected children. So that's where I was right before LifeBridge. But before that, I'd done a lot of consulting in the nonprofit world. And it was mostly development and communication, so fundraising, things like capital campaigns or major gifts efforts or things like that. And that would be for all kinds of nonprofits, whether it would be a school, a hospital, a museum, some historical societies, churches. So, all those different agencies that depend on our philanthropy and our support to be successful and carry out some type of mission. So one day I was really interested in that next challenge in my life, and I thought, how much more challenging could it get than raising money for homeless men and women? It really has become this invisible community, so to speak. We only get to see them when we're maybe driving and see someone under the bridge, or someone's camped out inside someone's local business. But there are a lot of men and women who face this challenge, and I'd like to call it a crisis of homelessness. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting for me to come onto LifeBridge as the director of development and start getting out there and talking about what we do and who we are. Pretty quickly in my career here at LifeBridge, within the first year, I was actually offered to become executive director. So that's something I took advantage of, and it's been an amazing transition. And now I get to see the agency and, in this really larger piece. Not only do I get to raise the money, now I get to spend it.
I just want to make sure, hold on the side here, because will stop and then we'll pause it. Yeah, and I've done that a few times during these interviews. Before we get into the work of LifeBridge and what the LifeBridge actually is, how did you get involved originally? What drew you to this? Because you hit a real chord with me with the Little Wanderers. I can only pick out a few agents, donations a year that I can make, and I always make sure I hit the Little Wanderers. So what drew you to that kind of work?
It certainly is a very personal thing in that after college I thought, hey, how can I best give back? I don't know. I was always drawn to giving back. I actually spent 4 years in the seminary, and that was sort of my career path at one point. I obviously decided against that, and I'm married now and have a beautiful son who's 4 months old. But thank you. Yes, and I'm sleeping. It's kind of amazing. if I had here, I would lose more of it, but it's been amazing. So I'm also, and here's an interesting fact that's where I draw from. I'm the oldest of 11. I have 10 little brothers and sisters, and it's this amazing, amazing family atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So it was always about people think, hey, the mom and dad, they did great work, but we always brought each other up. Mm-hmm. And we still are, and my youngest brother's still in the fifth grade, so we're always looking out for each other. And it's that idea of it takes a village. Yeah. And that's never left me. So I figured I'm going to spend the rest of my life and try to make a difference and give people a chance and do it together. And that really plays into my philosophy of, we're going to do this better together, even when we're talking about LifeBridge or fundraising. So that's a little bit about me and my personal motivation. I think there's a lot out there. There's a lot of places where either the community or the government leaves off. Mm-hmm. And that enters the nonprofit world. What are we? We're the places that pick up where everyone else leaves off. So I like being part of that, and those are the people I want to represent and support.
Amazing story. And, the minute the topic of homelessness comes up, I read about it, or I see someone on the street who asks for money, I feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And in a society such as ours that is contrasted to the rest of the world, pretty rich, it's amazing to me that we have difficulty taking care of homelessness, of the elderly, and maybe you know, people who are challenged in whatever way, shape, or form. So tell me about LifeBridge and the amazing work that you guys are doing.
So LifeBridge, you know, the elevator pitch, LifeBridge is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping homeless men and women end their homelessness. So that is really a philosophy that's based in giving people what they need to be successful. You know, we have this amazing program where anyone who comes to LifeBridge is offered intensive case management services. So that's one-on-one work where that individual and that case manager comes up with an action plan. And that action plan can be anything from getting an identification for the first time, or maybe meeting with a primary care physician for the first time in 3 years, or seeking mental health services or addiction treatment. So, you know, there are no really two stories that are similar. Everyone has their own action plan, but it's that opportunity to start working through some of those things that may have caused their homelessness at one point or another. So we do that, and we also wrap around those intensive case management services something we like to call supportive services. And those are anything from AA or Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, knitting group, art therapy, music therapy, peer support groups, resume building. You know, the room we're sitting in now is sort of an amazing, if you start at one end and look at the other, you'll see there's a computer bank, then you'll see there's a little library, and there's some dry erase boards with some, it looks like this was part of a Bible study. We do that once a week. And then up on the wall here, you see the art therapy pieces that were done by four women who experienced trauma. And each one of those pictures is a way for them to have expressed their trauma. Now, they weren't able to do that in any other way, but through art therapy. So as you can see, we're really providing that spark, that opportunity for these men and women to work through whatever they need to so that they can return to lives of independence and self-sufficiency.
I just have to make sure all the lights are still on. I get so nervous. Wow. Yeah. I will get some pictures of this to display, but it's incredible. I didn't realize it was so comprehensive. Can you relate to me a success story, obviously with no names or anything personal, but maybe a success story that's either recent or near and dear that sort of typifies what you're striving for, you know, in this endeavor?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of different success stories. There are a lot of stories where maybe people weren't ready to, you know, end their homelessness at this point. But there's one individual in particular who has shared his story, so I feel comfortable sharing it now. His name is Michael, and he came to us more than a year ago. I think it's about 2 years ago, from one of the most acute treatment facilities around here. It's called Bay Ridge Hospital. You know, it's an inpatient facility. And he came to LifeBridge with nothing. And yet, the gentleman used to run country clubs and has a family down in South Carolina, and very, very successful in his own right at one point. And through whatever reason, some bad decisions, whatever his path led him here to LifeBridge. And, you know, our friend Mike was very successful. He came here. It was a little bit challenging in the beginning. He eventually was able to leave LifeBridge and move into another part of our program that we call Seeds of Hope Housing. So we also own 22 apartments of permanent supportive housing, and those units are for people who have experienced chronic homelessness. And it's a 30% of your income. You have to have some type of documented disability. I mean, it's not just affordable housing. Those units still are very much supported by LifeBridge. You know, each one of those residents has a case manager, but now you're not living in a shelter. You're in an apartment and you have your own place. And we're still supporting those individuals, and they flank our campus. They're on either side of us. So Mike was able to go from LifeBridge into one of those units. Eventually, he was able to move on to his own apartment, and throughout all of this, we have a bit of a robust client or hire program here at LifeBridge. So in other words, there are certain clients who come in and want to be part of LifeBridge in other ways. So there are direct care positions where you're sitting answering the phone or answering the door, and Mike was able to start there, all the way to today, where he's one of our operation managers. Right. And is wildly successful. He's a rising star. He is a big part of our team, and not just our team, but our management team. And this is all within the past couple of years. And, you know, it's great to see, Mike now the way he is. And he's a pleasure to be around. And he's very willing to speak about his experience. So for me, and I even think for Mike, it's a huge success story. And, yeah. And he deserves the credit. He did it, right? He came here. He did what he had to do. He returned back to his life of, self-sufficiency and independence. And hey, at the same time, we got an amazing coworker and friend out of the deal. So, yeah, that's one of the success stories. There are many.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah. I, as a teacher, I always used to, when a kid would do well, you always credit the kid. It's him or her.
Yeah.
And when the kid didn't do well, it's the teacher takes the blame. And so I get that. That works.
Parents as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some truth to that, certainly. Well, that's a great story. Yeah. You know, I was just wondering, do you have a liaison? Is there a communication or some kind of go between, if not, I don't know, but experience with law enforcement and homelessness.
Thank you. That's a great question, and I haven't touched on it yet, but here in Salem specifically, we have an amazing program that is all through the Salem Police Department. They have a unit that's called the Community Impact Unit, and there's these three officers who serve as liaisons to all the social service agencies within the city. It's a bit unique in that these three officers are really not responding to anything else but those social service agencies. So when they're on, you know, they're working with us full time, you know, 7 days a week, constantly available. So that group of people we have in our building almost every day. And it's a bit unique, or it's getting better, but you know, to see police officers in the homeless shelter working with clients, is sometimes people walk in and go, why are the police here? I'll say, well, they're working with Jimmy. You know, he has something going on, and these are the gentlemen that are going to help him get through it. And we do this because we very much are part of the community. And what we do here at LifeBridge affects the community. So we want to make sure we're good neighbors. And quite honestly, it's a very mutually beneficial relationship. When we work with the CIU and they find out that Jimmy, you know, and I'm just using a name, has a warrant in Haverhill for outstanding parking tickets, you know, they're coming in here and saying, hey, you know, Jimmy's got to get that fixed. How do we help him do that? As opposed to, oh, Jimmy's got those outstanding warrants. Let's lock them up and figure out what we're going to do. No, it's very much a community-based support, and it's worked marvelously, and we've grown that relationship over the past years, and they're as much of a resource to us as we are to them, so it works out really well.
Excellent. I imagine you can avoid some bad situations. Yes. with that kind of relationship. Okay, Jason, so, you know, I think there are probably people who haven't heard of the program in the area all over the North Shore who would like to maybe help out, or people who need to be involved in the services. So what's the next step? What do we do? How do we get that information out? Or you know, where would we go?
I think the first place to start is at www.lifebridgesalem.org, and there's a great overview of who we are, what our programs are. I think the fact that people want to hear about homelessness and the agencies that are involved is actually the first step. I think there's a lot of education that has to happen. You know, to those ends, we welcome anyone. You know, we have pretty much an open door policy, and if anyone walks in the door, I think they're going to be surprised at what they see. It's probably not what they think they thought it was. And as executive director, that happened to me the first time I was here. So I would welcome anyone who's remotely interested in what we do and looking for a way to participate to come and see us, look at our website. We also run a community meals program that's 7 days a week, 3 meals a day, and that's for anyone in the community. It serves about 250 meals a day, so not just our residents, but other people who need food. So we're always in constant need of volunteers, and that's a really nice way to sort of get to see who we are and see the people we serve. I can say right now we have almost 300 volunteers that help with that program. And believe it or not, we need more. If you're thinking 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, it's a lot of food and a lot of volunteers. One of the other cool things we do that we don't talk a lot about is we own a thrift shop over on Canal Street. It's on 47 Canal Street. All of the funds that come from selling those items that people have donated to the thrift shop actually come to run the shelter and the apartments and anything we do as an organization. So we're actually fortunate to have almost $500,000 in funding come from that thrift shop. So yeah, it's great for us because those funds are the funds that pay for the case management and the supportive services and the different groups we try to do. So those are two ways people can get involved. And of course, there are always, ways to donate. I mean, the plight of the nonprofit, right? We depend on philanthropy and private donations, and if anyone was ever so generous to consider that, that would be amazing as well.
Well, my eyes are open for sure, and I want to thank you for letting me come in here and learn more about this, and anything obviously you have to pass along, we're happy to do that. So, is there anything else you'd like to mention before I let you go?
No, Rick, I really want to say thank you. And as I said, the first step in what we're trying to do here is educate and show people what homelessness is and what it looks like. And the people I get to work with, our clients, the people who come here for services, are just amazing people. So the more we get to know them, the more we learn about homelessness and the ways we can solve it, the better. So thank you for your time, and thank you for the opportunity.
Appreciate it. All right, that's Jason Etheridge, who is the executive director at LifeBridge in Salem.